Amen. Thanks. Let's hold on to that, the truth, brothers and sisters, as we just take a seat. I see Hugh is sneaking off. Hugh, you off to get mercy. Fantastic. Okay. All right. So we have a couple of sharings. We're doing things in a little bit of an unusual way today, but that's because I'm leading the meeting and I am unusual. So Joe Fadd is coming up to give a sharing, but Joe Fadd is coming up to give a sharing about an anonymous person. So I asked Joe if he could bring a wig and a beard with him, but he hasn't. But Joe's sharing is about what somebody else who was planning to be at the meeting today but couldn't come at the last minute. So Joe's sharing on behalf of this other person. So I'll stop being mysterious and hand over to Joe, and then we're going to hear from Mercy afterwards. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Arthur. I'm scary enough without a wig, so I thought for the benefit of everybody else. So this is about somebody who's a committed Christian who's been doing a lot of mission, and that person had something in their past that wasn't dealt with. And I was in conversation with the person and felt really led by the Lord to challenge them, particularly challenge them on the area of they're saying something as if it's a slogan, but they're not actually applying it in their life. And that wasn't exactly the easiest thing to get across, so I tried to be as gracious as possible, but still it was a little bit of a correction. So the person went away really thinking about the whole thing, and as they went away, they put on some worship music, and it was on shuffle, on automatic shuffle. And the first song that came was related to what we spoke about, so I thought, okay, that's interesting, so they skipped. The second song that came was also related to what we spoke about, so they thought, okay, it seems like the Lord wants to say something to me about all of this. So they decided to muster their courage and act on that particular area. And I invited that person to come to a retreat we ran about 3 or 4 weeks ago called the Life and the Spirit Seminar. He did come, and then partway through the retreat, I was praying with him. And as I was praying with him, really clearly saw that the Lord was doing something in particular with the person. He was very moved, and then decided to, in the midst of all of that, step back a bit and then try and observe what is happening. And as I was doing that, I realized somebody else seems to be praying for the person as well. So I went over to that other person and I said, "You seem to be praying for the guy." He said, "Yes." I said, "What's happening?" And he basically described that he saw a couple of angels who were specifically ministering to that person being prayed with. So I went to that person, I said, "Okay, why don't you share the vision that you just had with the other person?" And he did. And then at that stage, that person got slain in the spirit. He was just overcome by an incredible amount of God's love for him. And then just so much deep healing was happening with him. And it was really encouraging for them. It was also really encouraging for me that someone who'd been doing a lot of mission, someone who had been serving God in many different ways, but the Lord had a lot more. Remind me of the word that Bob was sharing with us earlier about, you know, the Lord wanting us to give our burdens to him. And it just struck me that we all have space to more of God's love, more of God's work in our life, even if we've been doing mission for a long time.
Thanks, Joe. It's really good to hear what the Lord's been doing in that young man's life, that mysterious young man. Okay, here's Mercy.
Hi, my name is Mercy. I don't actually know what Joe was sharing about because I was out looking after the children, but I prepared a sharing for you, which I think is going to be quite different from what Joe was sharing. But I've entitled my sharing, Surprised by God. This is sharing about how God surprised me by answering a prayer in a way that I wouldn't have imagined possible. So taking you back to when I was a child, I really liked learning other languages at school. The children and I were just talking out there about what we liked to learn, and some of them were saying they liked to learn maths, and I said I was really bad at maths, but I liked to learn languages. So I was especially good at Latin and classical Greek at school. Some of my family members are teachers of Latin and Greek, and it was just sort of part of our family DNA. So the study of classical Greek I learned from a very young age is very important because it's really informs our so much of our world nowadays, our language, our philosophy, our economic and legal systems, medicine, literature, art, and so on. So for me, studying an ancient language is really a way of going right to the source of all these things I've just mentioned and hitting the mother load of each of those. But then I left education and I entered the world of work and raised children, and all these interests seem to get locked away in a drawer. Nice to dwell on sometimes, but no longer accessible to me. But I dreamed about going back to studying old texts again. About 4 years ago, I'd been thinking about this for a long time, and I'd prayed for an opportunity to go back to studying. And an opportunity presented itself, and I found a course in classical Greek, and it looked really interesting, and I enrolled. The first 2 years were great. I had a couple of very inspiring and competent teachers. I met some lovely people on the course, and we've become good friends. All was going well. And for fun, some of us sat the GCSE Classical Greek 2 years ago. So our own Thomas Doyle and I sat the same exams in summer 2018. After having been so nervous about sitting exams, but having survived the ordeal, some of us decided to go on and study for the A-level. But then our inspiring teachers started leaving one by one, and we were left with no one to carry on teaching us. This brought me literally to my knees last summer when I was cleaning the bathroom one day, and I found myself talking to God about how sad I felt that my studies seemed to have come to an end and how much I had enjoyed them. I carried on talking to God, prompted by the Holy Spirit, I believe, to ask for what I really wanted. What I really, really wanted, I realized, was to continue studying, and that I would love to have an excellent, knowledgeable, and inspiring teacher who would help us in our studies. A few days later, one of my fellow students told me she had been in touch with Professor Mary Beard of Cambridge University. She's a well-known professor of classics, to ask for help. The great Mary Beard gave us a couple of names to contact. So when my friend asked me to contact one of these people, I did, and found myself a few days later in the office of, I would say, London's answer to Mary Beard, a wonderful professor of classics at King's College. She had read my letter and had decided, she said, to teach us the A-level classical Greek herself, free of charge. I was completely surprised by her offer and assumed it was too good to be true. But after an hour of discussion, we had a deal. She would teach us the A-level Greek over the next 2 years, and we just had to pay her train fares. Her reason for wanting to help a group of mature students, you may wonder why, is that she's a socialist, she says, and she believes in free and accessible education for all. True to her word, she has been teaching us since last September, and we are having a wonderful time. She's an authority in her field and a great teacher, but most of all, a very generous lady who wants to help other people. So, who says God doesn't answer prayers? Even prayers that may seem unimportant. But what has really come home to me, and is still coming home to me, is that God cares about our desires. He places desires in our hearts for things, and they're very individual desires. And he's waiting for us to come to us, to him, with those desires. It can take years for us to realize what our desires are. And I thought mine were unimportant and simply behind me now. But God's Holy Spirit, I really believe, prompted me to pray the way that I did. And it has really built up my faith to ask specifically for things. Not a general, please God, bless this, or may you do that. But to sit down and to speak frankly with the Lord. And the scripture verses that have inspired me to be bolder and more specific have been things like 1 John 3. Think of the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. He gives his children far more than they deserve and that they need often even. But that's just the sort of God he is. And I'm still learning that. So I hope this has inspired you, because I'm still being inspired, even though this has been happening since last year.
So the reason we have these stories at every Friends meeting is because the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who created the universe also cares for our little lives as well. And whatever is going on in our lives, God cares about them. So that's why we have an opportunity for prayer at the end of the meeting. So if you've been touched by what's happened so far or by those stories, come for prayer at the end. And if you haven't been touched yet, we've got Hugh to look forward to. So let's just pray for him as he prepares, and let's open our hearts to receive what he's got for us today. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Speak.